page with me. Welcome to the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to dive into the book of Acts, and tonight I'm going to do an overview of it. But I want you to turn to the third page. This is going to be kind of what, with anyone that's speaking, and again, I want to encourage you, if you have a desire to speak, I want you to speak. This is a great opportunity to dive in, great safe space for you to come in and step out a little bit, okay? We're going to encourage you. We're going to be there with you. We're going to enjoy it with you, okay? So if you have a desire to step out and teach and talk about a chapter, come to me, let me know. But don't worry, if you don't come to me, I'm still going to go probably to ask you about it anyways. Just wait, Miss Cherry, I got you. Okay, all right, here we go. So one of the things, so everyone that speaks, this is the kind of what we're looking for, and I just kind of want to walk through this real quick. So how to present the chapter. The reason why I want to do this is I really want every chapter, I want us to understand what's going on from the chapter before as it leads into the second one, what's happening in this timeline. So first thing is, as you get up and you open up, and I'm going to do this exact thing here in just a minute, is do an introduction. I want you to paint a picture of what's happening in the chapter that you have, okay? Brother Roy has number two, chapter two, okay? So when he gets up, he's going to come up and give an explanation and talk about what's happening, what happened in chapter one, how it builds up to chapter two, and then we're going to give an overview of the chapter itself, okay? I'm not asking you to read the entire chapter. You don't have to go through every aspect of it, but I want you to do an overview of it. Hit the main points. Paint the picture for us of what's happening. Everybody on the same page there? Yeah. And then what I want you to do is once you've painted the picture of the entire chapter, and there's a lot of things that go on in these in the book of Acts. It is amazing points. In the first chapter, there's multiple things that happen. And here in a minute, I'm going to paint that picture for you. But what I want you to do is I want you to, as you read and you study that chapter that I've asked you to preach on and share on, is I want you to, man, what stands out to you? What is, man, something that as you read it, man, it steps out to you. That's what I want you to dive into and lock into, all right? And so after you've given the presentation of what's happened in that chapter, then I want you to give us the scripture of what you're going to talk about. Tell us what you're about to talk about, okay? Then tell us, okay? Then remind us what you just told us, okay? And then at the end, all right, how can we apply this? How can we put this into our lives, okay? And the great thing is use illustrations, use stories to help illustrate what you're talking about. Stories help lock people in. Jesus was the greatest storyteller ever, okay? He has so many parables. That's what it is about, just sharing things to help people, bringing people in, okay? All right, now, in the next page here, I have, Amber's helped me put these things together. It's not fully there. I don't think there's enough. There's totally in there, the 28 pages of this. But I wanted to do your notes here. So anytime anyone's speaking, you can put in there a journey through Acts chapter, whatever we're on, and then notes. Put in there just some things that you maybe didn't know, something that stands out to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit just lays on your heart one little glimpse and one little thing, something that's saying, and just like I want you to write it down. And I want you to take these things home. And as you're diving into the chapter, into the book of Acts, and I encourage you, read on. Read the whole thing. Read it over and again, as we're journeying this through this thing. I want us to be so locked in with Acts the Acts of the Apostles, man, we are locked into the first church. What is going on? What happened with Peter and John? And what happened with Paul, okay? In those missionary journeys, the differences and the things that have that happened in there, the miracles that happened. It's extraordinary, okay? We all good? Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Acts first for a moment. Acts chapter, the book of Acts was written by Luke, okay? Luke was known as a physician, so if you, when you read the book of Luke, it's pretty detailed. And you read in Acts, it's the same thing. It's very detailed, okay? Luke, a little more about Luke himself, okay? He was not an apostle. He, a lot of the scholars believe he comes in with the second missionary journey of Paul, okay? The Paul and Luke were very close. In Colossians, Paul talks about Luke the beloved, okay? So there is a deep relationship with Paul. And so Paul comes in and starts journaling and starts writing and starts documenting everything, and he writes the book of Luke all about the gospel of Jesus, what happens with Jesus. And then the second this is the second chapter, the what is it called, the second volume, more or less. So Luke, and it just goes right into the Acts of the Apostles, okay? So it really just combined to each other, just they just flow right to each other. All right, so Acts chapter 1 comes 40 days after the crucifixion. So that's kind of the timeline that we're in. So we know Luke wrote the book of Acts, all right? Chapter 1, it talks about this guy, Theophilus, okay? Who is this guy, Theophilus? Michelle came up to me and asked me about that, and I'm like, you know, that's a good question. There's not a whole lot we know about him, except he's a Gentile leader, and that he addresses, Luke is writing these books to him, and he's explaining to Theophilus about what's going on with Jesus and what happens in the Acts. And we see in Acts, in Luke chapter 1, Luke is describing Theophilus as the excellent Theophilus. And then in Acts chapter 1, he addresses him as, O Theophilus. And so a lot of scholars believe that there's a deepening relationship that happens. There's a good relationship that's happening there with Luke and Theophilus. And that's why Luke is writing all these things, documenting these things to him. And again, another thing that they talk about is that the scholars believe that the reasoning why Luke was doing this is to help Theophilus in his relationship with the Lord. That Theophilus' name means friend of God. So that's kind of what happens. That's kind of an overview of Luke and Acts. And so we kind of see those things together. All right. So now I want to do an overview of chapter 1. Okay, so we kind of have a concept of Luke, of Acts, is the Acts of the Apostles. It is the early church. It's what happened right after Jesus died. Okay, it's 40 days, and this is going into now church is happening. Now revival is about to break loose, okay? And it's an exciting thing as we go into and start unpacking the Acts, okay? All right, so the first thing we see in the first chapter is this final appearance of Jesus. Verses 1 through 8, Jesus is coming back. In verse 8, it says, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus is here. Look, I'm about to pour down, about to hit you with something that's going to empower you that you never experienced before. It's going to be off the chain, okay? And then we see Jesus' final ascension. And I love this part where Jesus says, or that Jesus ascends. This is first verse 9 through 11. Jesus ascends to heaven. The disciples are looking into heaven, and the two angels come down. I think it's two angels. Two angels come down, and they says, what are you looking at? And it says, well, looking for Jesus. What happened? He says, the same way he left is the exact same way he's going to come back down. Come on, in the cloud of glory. Come on. Verse 12 and through 15, 12 to 14, the apostles now, they come together and begin to pray in the upper room, begin to come together. Verse 14 through 26, we see Peter getting up and talking about what happened with Judas, the death of Judas, and it gets a little graphic there. And at the very end, we see how they replace Judas with Matthias, okay? Am I going okay? Are y'all together? Okay. Trying to give an overview of this so we can kind of see what's happening as we start this journey. Now, here's where I want to camp out for about 15 to 20 minutes here. It's verse 14. And I think it's one of the most important, crucial elements of Acts. I really do. Okay. Verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with women and the Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The disciples, the apostles, they were all together. They were unified. They were together going after what God has next for them. Okay? It says they were in one accord. Chapter 2, Brother was going to get us. I'm not going to try to get too much there, okay? It says they were together. One of the first verses, they were together. They were together. Something that burns my spirit. Now, before I begin, I want to say this too. I was really praying about how to navigate this. And so I'm just going to come out and say exactly what's on my heart. I feel like the Lord shared me to give tonight. As I was writing this thing down and praying over this thing, it's just like every time, Miss North, anytime you start going after, you start questioning, right? Dude, I had so many confirmations. I was listening to different preachers here and different preachers here, different clips here, different things here, and every one of them were saying the exact same thing. I'm like, thank you, Lord. We on the same page. We together. Okay. The enemy wants to divide the body of Christ. I want to tell you right now, I've read the Bible. I have yet to see any verse. Now, Pastor Hall, if I'm wrong, you can correct me. Okay, I don't think I am. But I have never seen anything in the scripture that says in heaven there's going to be a Baptist section, there's going to be a Pentecostal section, there's going to be a Methodist section, there's going to be a this section or that section. It's going to be the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We see so much division in the body of Christ these days. And guess what? I've seen it, people so close to me. And guess what? I've been guilty of it too. Of running my mouth about other things, about other ministries. Ugh, wrong with me. I love the story of the thief on the cross. Okay? I want to read this. Look at this real quick. Let's see here. Luke chapter 23, verse 40, 41, and 42, where there he is, says this. It says, so Jesus is there on the cross. You got the one thief and the one thief over here. And the one thief has just got done running his mouth. And here's what the other thief says. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, okay, we indeed justify, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And this is what Jesus replied. Y'all ready? He says, I need you to give some tithes. Before you do that, we need to have a whole bunch of people lay their hands on you, and you need to speak in tongues. He said, you need to get baptized first. I need you to get off the cross, and you need to go get you baptized. I need you to say some Hail Marys. Got to get immersed. What did Jesus say? He said, Jesus looks up and says, you prayed the wrong prayer. You didn't say it right. I've heard that before. People like, okay, anyways. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Come on. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I get so frustrated these days with the division that's in the body of Christ. I get so frustrated when watching on any kind, and this is another reason why I can't hardly be on social media for too long. I have to delete it like every few days. I mean, I get so upset with it. I get so tired of it. Like my daughter sent me something on TikTok, and I'm like, oh gosh, I got to download that stupid app again so I can actually see this thing. I download it, and she's like, I thought you had TikTok. I said, I deleted it. I don't like it. I said, but let me watch it. What you sent me. There's so much stuff on social media. You go to YouTube, type in any minister's name, and you're going to get so much garbage in the name of calling out, Miss North. Calling out. I look at these things for a moment. How much and how many times have we heard people, we've been in conversations with people, maybe even have said it ourselves. Joel Osteen. I heard him talking the other day. He was doing a podcast and he was there talking about how to get to heaven. And he said the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I'm good. Well, Joel Osteen, he's got. What about him? He believes Jesus Christ, crucified. He says, that's the only way to get to heaven. All right, he has his softer messages. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Okay? But guess what? He's reaching. Say it. Say it. Say it.
They wake up every day.
He's an encourager.
He's an encourager.
He's an encourager.
We're out here. We got all this.
Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland. He's one of them that you classify as a prosperity preacher. Y'all just wait. Y'all just wait. I'm going to be preaching on some finances here pretty soon. Y'all just wait. And I was talked about him just a little bit actually on Sunday when I was talking about how he looks through the lenses of finances when he's reading scriptures. And let me tell you something. There's some times what I've heard where I'm like, meh. Not totally sure I align with that. But he fully believes it is through Jesus Christ that we're saved. And Kenneth Copeland has reached millions and millions, millions of lives. Same thing with Joel Osteen. Millions and millions of lives have been affected. Guess what? Your associate pastor has read a book of Joel Osteen, and he loved it. Okay, white. Here recently, there was this big, long, huge, I mean, and it, oh, it burned my spirit, Lord. I just, it aggravated me because people have come out now, and I'm going to tell you something. I've had very, very, very close friends come out against me or to me about Todd White. And I'm like, this guy is sharing Jesus everywhere. Are there some things that need to get worked on? Absolutely. That's in all of us. But what gets me is that this one guy that is online, and I'm not going to sit there and bash him either, but that's what he makes a living in this. And so many people do in the name of calling out. This one gentleman actually offered up $100,000 for someone to go in and do a private audit on Todd White's ministry. Like, you're spending all this energy. There was another minister I was talking about, or I heard this week. I love him. He's a fiery Pentecostal boy. He's over the Holy Spirit boy. He's great. He was talking about, look, this minister is doing over this, and this minister is doing that, and you're talking about this minister is doing this. Listen, and you're coming to me, I am too busy doing the work of the Lord to be even worried about what this guy's doing or what this guy's doing. I got what I'm supposed to be doing right in front of me. I ain't got time to be sitting there just yabber-jawing about this or this guy. Come on. What about our guy here in Burleson, local? Troy Brewer. Open Door Ministries. Here's what their ministry is involved with. They feed thousands every single month with their food bank. Monstrous food bank. Okay? They have Christian counseling, marriage counseling. They have all kinds of ministry things that are happening there. They also have orphanages in Africa that they personally run. And the pastor goes over there all the time. They have a massive ministry that zeroes in and locks in on human trafficking. And how many lives have they reached and saved and affected in that ministry? Oh, but Brandon, he just talks about the moon and the stars and the skies. And he talks about this and he talks about... Don't listen to him. Go on to somebody else. How easy is that? Guess what? I've got some very, 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 very close friends of mine that go there. And guess what? Their lives have been changed. They're being discipled, and they are on fire for God. But they don't like how the pastor holds himself. He's too... Blah, blah. Shut up. Seriously, we've got to be like these people in the upper room. Listen, we ain't got time for this garbage. What is God wanting us to jump into? Seek His face for what He's got next for us. Okay? I'm not a huge fan of some of these guys. Listen, I love T.D. Jakes. I love listening to his preaching. But guess what? I don't agree with some of his politics. And I don't agree with some other things that he said. But guess what? I've still been beyond blessed by some of his preaching. I get fired up when I listen to it. Come on! Y'all know what? Listen, Listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is, I love my dad, and he is my pastor. But guess what, Miss North? Me and him, we have some disagreements. What? I'd say it's exactly right. He's going to be wrong every now and then, Pastor. Hundred percent. You know, I've already said this a couple of times, but I loved that sunrise service. That Methodist pastor got up and said the most proper kind of prayer. And let me tell you something, that ain't my cup of tea, son. Just let her rip, Tater Chip. You ain't got to have it scripted, okay? But you know what? That blessed me. I loved it. I loved being a part of it. I loved being out there with all the other folks freezing their tail ends off for Jesus because we wanted to be together. It was awesome. I love going to Texas House of Prayer. Man, I love their hearts. There are some things I've heard that it's like, okay. But guess what? Guess what? I'm not sitting there talking to this person. This person, you wouldn't believe what Brother Jason said over there. You wouldn't believe what I saw Brother Eric, how he was talking to. No. Guess what? I'm going to go over there and I'm going to connect as much as I can. Because they love Jesus. Just like we do.
They
do. And I say all this is I look at these disciples in the upper room, and there were some differences in there. We saw the disciples in the Gospels. It says it seemed that they always fought and bickered. Okay, I loved it. John was always talking about what? I'm the loved one. So funny. Just loved it. What changed? Peter still had the history of denying the Lord. Matthew was still a tax collector. Simon was still a zealot. Their differences were still there. Their differences were still there. But the resurrected Jesus in their hearts was greater than any differences.
Amen.
And we don't see that enough today. People put, well, they don't speak a tongue, so we can't associate with them. Bless God. Absolutely not. We've got to reach across to whoever. It doesn't matter. That's okay. Listen, my best friend, Danny, we have got some incredible differences theologically. He leans very Calvinistic. I'm more Arminian. That's what we believe. We believe that you can't lose your salvation. That's what we teach. Okay? He doesn't lean that way. There's other things that we see. It's my best friend. We pray every day. We pray every day together. And when we need to talk about theology, I simply say, I'm just more saved than him. Oh, 100%. Do I know? That's it. So the thing is this, is I love this. I want to read that again. The differences were still there, just like we've got differences even in here, okay? But the resurrected Jesus in their hearts was greater than any differences. We as a church have to be more unified than ever before. just like the apostles and the disciples in the upper room. Because what we see, we are about to see what takes place when people are unified. Instead of opening up and starting and stirring up, because I'm telling you, people come around us all the time talking about different ministries. I hear it all the time. Instead of stirring the pot, just say, yeah, we should be praying for that guy. He's sharing the gospel a whole lot, and we have some differences, but definitely we need to be praying for him. Amen. Let's just lift him up in prayer instead of talking about him. You know, I love this thing what Mom always threw back at Dad. I love this. So good. Dad would come in, and Dad tells the story all the time. It says that he'd go to Mom and say, hey, here's what's happening. This is what's going on in the world. This is happening. And Mom would come back and say, well, you just told me all what the devil's doing. Why don't you tell me what Jesus is doing? Tell me what Jesus is doing. Stop telling me about the garbage. What's God doing? Hallelujah. That's good right there. I don't care who you are. Man.
I'd interrupt the Father time.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've had a few things thrown at me, Dad, when I would interrupt her prayer time. There's a few hairbrushes that came my way. You know, I loved Brother North's message a few Wednesdays ago, or several Wednesdays ago, that about the body of Christ. You are valuable. And instead of bickering back and forth about the differences and this and that, let's pray for each other. Let's lift up each other. You know, instead of, you know, if there's something that pastor does or I do that you may disagree with, listen, that's going to happen. And if it really bothers you, do what the Bible tells you, is come to us. Don't go to your brother. Come to us. Or just go before the Lord. Lift us up in prayer. Amen. It's the same thing with elders. The same thing with you, Miss North, with our worship team. Amen. Let's lift each other up with the body of Christ. We're to encourage each other. Amen. Just read a couple of scriptures real quick, and then I'm going to finish up. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no division among you, and that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Man, that's the prayer we've got to be praying for the church. Amen. That the church would learn to put aside some differences. You know, I've wasn't sure if I wanted to even put this out there. You know, I've heard the word heretic been thrown around by people. And man, that you need to learn. You got to be real careful with that. That's something to be thrown. Let's not just throw that thing around. You know, I've heard somebody call Todd White a heretic. Man, the guy believes Jesus Christ crucified. Dude ain't no heretic. But see, the thing is people will call them just because they don't agree with the theology that you believe. It's not a heretic. If that's the case, then we all are heretics in some way, I guess. You know, to the Baptist, I must be a heretic, right? Okay? We've got to be united. It is about Jesus Christ crucified. Just like Miss Cherry says it all the time. It is about Jesus Christ crucified. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and the peace will be with you. Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. You know, the final point, you know, this is what we've been talking about, is being unified. I just told you tonight about what the disciples were doing, the apostles were doing, the men and women, they were going after Jesus to together in expectation of what God was about to do. And that's exactly where we have got to be as the body of Christ, not sitting there gossiping, not bashing, just because you disagree with certain different theologies, okay? Don't listen to them. But don't sit there and bash them. They're saving, they're reaching more lives. Listen, y'all ready? So many of these people have shared the gospel message to millions. Millions of people have heard the gospel message through Joel Osteen. Y'all ready for this question? How many people have heard it through your mouth? Through your mouth. We ain't got no room to be sitting there talking about this guy or this guy. Let's lock in to what God is wanting to do with us. Right here, right now. That's exactly what the disciples were doing. And as we go into this book, we're going to see God move in powerful, mighty ways. And guess what? We're going to see some division. We're going to see some problems that arise with situations. And guess what? We're going to see how they're dealt with, how they're properly dealt with, how it's handled. And I can't wait. We're going to talk about it and get into it. Amen. Amen. We got to be united. Amen? Yes, ma'am.